the beginning of your talk, you touched on how your interest in game playing as a child affected your work.
Mm-hmm.
Please comment on how the Montessori method and your extensive Montessori education had an influence.
Oh, yeah, you know that about me, don't you? Yeah, I went to a Montessori school, actually, up to about sixth grade. And, you know, to me, I just kind of thought, okay, that's education, until I went into public school later. And I realized, you know, how amazing it was. And actually, it was many years later that I became fascinated kind of with the work of Maria Montessori. And if you're not very familiar with, you know, one of the things that she did, well, she's convinced that, you know, children are very good at educating themselves. It's more a matter of the teacher giving them the right materials and getting out of their way. And she designed a number of things for teaching math and geography and science, which were, you know, some of these amazing little block sets that would teach polynomial math, for instance, and little maps, interactive maps that you could kind of piece together to learn geography. And in terms of education, I've always thought that computers are ideal for that. You know, you can design a system like SimCity or some, you know, simulation model toy that you give to a kid, and then the kid will at their own pace kind of learn what they're interested in. They will build their own framework in the order that they want to. You know, typically when something is taught in a linear format, you know, first you learn A, then B, then C, then D. But in fact, different kids, you know, there's kind of been more recent research on what's called learning styles. Some kids are very good at learning verbally, other ones are more visual, other ones are more, you know, auditory or tactile. And so I think, you know, if you have an educational medium where each kid can kind of take their own path into it and through it, much in the same way that a game player can take their own path through a possibility space, you're just bound to end up with a more effective educational medium. And I think that's kind of the essence of what Maria Montessori was doing, you know, with her Montessori toys and her Montessori method. There was a German guy before her. You probably know his name. Was it Froebel? There was a guy before Montessori who actually was designing these special blocks for kindergartners, this special set of toys for teaching math and structural properties and physics. And this is all back in the turn of the century. This is fairly old work. And it's really surprised me that there hasn't been more adaptation of these methods to modern technology, because it seems like the computer is the thing that, you know, like Maria Montessori really wanted to have when she was designing these things. So it's been a big influence on me in terms of the educational kind of undercurrents of my work. And this is something that, this is maybe another thing that's kind of on the downside of the game industry, is the fact that it's gotten to the point where educational, you know, in the name of your software, if you say it's educational, that's the kiss of death. And there are a lot of reasons for this. But the primary reason is that the children that are buying a lot of this software have taken over the purchasing decision from the parent. Back when, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, computers were fairly expensive things, and the parents would have a computer, and then they'd have a kid, and maybe when the kid was 5 or 6 years old, they'd go out and buy Reader Rabbit or Math Blaster for them, which weren't great pieces of software to begin with. But still, the parent was kind of saying, I want to use this computer, you know, to help my kid. I want to give them, you know, kind of every advantage on the educational side. At some point, the kid would, you know, when they were 12 years old, they would start telling the parent, oh, I want Nintendo, I want this. And they would control the purchase decision. They, you know, the parent couldn't give them something and say, play this. Well, that age range has moved down from 12 to 10 to 8 to, like, you know, 5 years old now. Now the 5-year-olds are telling their parents, I want Nintendo. And they're pretty much fully, you know, determining what they play. And you don't sell software to a 5-year-old or even a 10-year-old by saying it's educational. But on the other hand, I think you can make very compelling educational games and sell it to the kid based upon its entertainment value. Because I think that education and entertainment really, when done the right way, become the same thing. And so, in some sense, I think it's kind of eliminated a lot of what used to be called shovelware, or kind of not terribly well-designed educational software that was being foisted off on parents that didn't really understand, you know, that there was something better around. But that's an area that, you know, I would like to see that kind of settle out over, like, the next 10 years to where there, in fact, really is a viable educational market for software, which right now there doesn't feel like there is one, at least in, like, in the mass market sense.